Okay, everyone, good to see you. Baruch Hashem, every week I think that we're going to have a fewer crowd as we get closer to Pesach, and your commitment to Talmud Torah is all very inspiring. So yeshar koach to you. It's a little piece of me that wishes you'd stop coming, but yeshar koach to you. Okay, I want to echo Rabbi Shabtai's gratitude to the Hirshhorns for sponsoring in honor of the birth of their great-grandson. Great-granddaughter. Okay.
Otherwise he wouldn't be here.
Much to the chagrin of my grandson.
Otherwise he wouldn't be here.
And her shidduch, the future great-grandson. So, right, we say, Arab Yom Kodem Mitzvah Savlad, Bas Kol says Bas Ploni the Ploni. So, you know, they ask the Maharshal there, that Gemara is in the beginning of Sota. And the Maharshal there asks, why does it say Bas Ploni the Ploni? To be parallel, it should be Bas Ploni le Ben Ploni, or Plonis le Ploni. Mm-hmm. Why is it inconsistent? Bas Ploni le Ploni. I don't know if it's a sexist comment, but the Maharsha says, because the men are usually older than the girls when they get married. So the boys mistama around, so it's Bas Ploni to the Ploni who's been around. So she's born, mistama the Ploni she's going to marry is already around. So we'll celebrate both of their births. Shkoyach. Okay, we're on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The bottom third, Tonar Rabbanon. There's no handout. For the first time since I've been teaching the Kolal, there are no Marmakomos today. We're going to cover some ground and get us ourselves to the Mishnah. Get back into Pesach stuff. There's a little Agadata to get through. So I apologize in advance. It's not the most riveting lumdus today. But we'll get as far as we can. Kuf Yud Zayin.
And Linda says thank you.
Yeah, and Linda's on the copy machine. Toshiba says thank you too. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Tana Rabbanon. It's the third wide line.
Amud Beis?
No, Amud Aleph, I'm sorry. Right. Small lines, medium lines, and wide lines.
Zion.
Phil, you could read that little Gemara? Kenai Nahara. Oh, Hashem. Because he knows Shas by heart. He fakes it that he's reading.
Right.
Okay, the third wide line. Tana Rabbanon. Everyone sees it?
No, wait a minute. Hold on one second.
What are the next words?
Tana Rabbanon. Halozeh mi Amro. Halozeh mi Amro. We're in Psochem. Talmud Bavli. Arve Psochem. 10th parak. Kuf Yud Zayin. Amud Aleph. We're going to spend half the shiur trying to find the place. And then whatever is left, we'll do some learning.
Okay.
Tana Rabbanan, halozeh mi Amro. The Braisa wants to know who is the one who instituted halal, to recite halal. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Moshe Yisrael Amru. It was Moshe and Bnei Yisrael said it when? B'shosha Amdu al Yam. After they passed Yam Suf, then they responded by saying, Halo. Heim Amru, Lo Lanu Hashem, Lo Lanu. And therefore, Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh V'Amar Lahen, L'ma'ani, L'ma'ani Ese. So the Ruach HaKodesh, representing HaKodesh Baruch Hu, this is quoting a Pasuk from Yeshaya, the Ruach HaKodesh answered, L'ma'ani, L'ma'ani Eseh. Meaning HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm saving you in order to promote my great name. Right? This is a concept that we have. We gave a Shabbos Shuva drasha a few years ago on the idea of Kiddush Hashem. Didn't we? On Kiddush Hashem? So what's the idea? Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. Hashem is Hashem, the name of Hashem. It means HaKodesh Baruch Hu is only represented, he's manifest in this world through his name, through his reputation. Either people are drawn close to his reputation or they're driven further away from his reputation. Our behavior sanctifies and promotes his name and reputation, or it diminishes and degrades his name and his reputation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu here says, Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh V'amar L'ma'ani L'ma'ani Yaseh. In other words, Kavod Shmi, I'm saving you to increase and promote my own reputation. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says it was not Moshe and Klal Yisrael who after the splitting of the sea instituted Halel. Yoshua b'nei Yisrael Amru. It was Yoshua and Klal Yisrael. And when did they say it? B'shah Shamdu Aleh Malchei Kanan. When they crossed the Yarden, which by the way also split miraculously. Unlike Kriyas Yamsuf that split into two separate walls. The Yamsuf split into one wall. For whatever reason, that difference. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the Yarden. What did I say? Yarden. Hala was not instituted by Moshe and Bnei Yisrael, but says Rabbi Yehuda was instituted by Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael when they crossed the Yarden and confronted the kings of Canaan to fight them in war. So Yehoshua, hey, Mamru, Yehoshua and Klal Yisrael said, Lo Lanu, this Pasuk. and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save them, Umeshiva, and the Ruach HaKodesh answered, Lamani, Lamani, the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer HaModoi Omer, a third opinion. No, Dvora Ubarak Amaruhu. You know who said it? This is, I guess, to satisfy that it was Dvora the prophetess and her husband Barak. For those who don't know, Dvora was married to Barak. It's very degrading to Barak. Chazal, the Navi itself, is very critical of Barak. Barak should have been the one to fight Sisera and the Plishtim. And Barak was somewhat cowardly. He was afraid. He hesitated. And in his stead, who stood up? Dvora Navi, Dvora his wife. So Chazal looked at, he was supposed to be the general who led the army, and he was reticent, and instead it was his own wife, it was a woman who took charge, who took the lead. There's a lot to say.
He wouldn't go.
What? Yael got all the credit. And Yael ultimately is the one who kills Sisera, but it was Dvora. If you ask Dvora, she took the credit.
He wouldn't go to war unless she went with him.
Correct. He was Chazal view him, depict him as cowardly. It's interesting. On the other hand, I don't want to spend the whole time studying Dvora, who's a fascinating figure. But lest you think that Dvora had any agenda other than serving the Ribono Shel Olam, there was no agenda to assert herself. You know, Chazal tell us that that Barak, you know, went to the Beis HaMikdash, and Dvora, what's Barak's other name? How else is he known? No. What? Dvora used to, she used to make the wicks for Barak to bring to the Mishkan, and that she was trying to make him look good. In other words, she was satisfied being behind the scenes making him look good. It's only when, despite her effort to bolster his leadership, he was cowardly, in that vacuum of leadership, she stood up, not to assert herself towards any agenda, but simply to fill a need and a role, which was very emergent, which was a crisis, and she deserves great credit. And in fact, she gives herself great credit. Chazal are critical of Dvora after, while she was humble and modest to begin with, after she defeats Sisera and the Plishtim, she recites Shiras Dvora. And she talks about herself in third person. Kam Eim B'Yisrael, Kam Dvora. She talks about herself. And Chazal says she lost her Nevuah. Didn't we do this? When did we do this in the Daf? Towards the end of Sota? Where did we do this? Nazir? Echves. It all blends together. But that Dvora, Chazal are critical of Dvora because she is so flattering towards herself and takes the credit. But in any case, Rabbi Lazar Modai is the one who says that Dvora and Barak instituted Halel when they fought and defeated Sisera. Heim amru lo lanu v'ruach hakodesh m'shiva v'omer eslam l'mani l'mani yese. Rabbi Lazar Manazari omer, no, a fourth opinion. It was Chizkiya v'siyaito amru b'sho sh'amar aleim sancheirev heim amru lo lanu m'shiva, and the ruach hakodesh answered l'mani l'mani. What is this talking about? In Malachim Beis, we're told it was the 14th year of the rule of the king Chizkiyahu, and Sancheirav, who was the king of Ashur, laid siege around the Are Yehuda. He laid siege around, in particular, Yerushalayim. And the Jewish people in Yerushalayim were divided about how to react and what to do. Chizkiyah and Shevna debated how to respond. Shevna sent a message to Sancheirav, a letter, and he said that I, Shevna, and my people, my followers, we're prepared to serve you. So release us from the siege and we'll follow you. But Chizkiyah and his followers were unwilling to concede. They remained rebellious against Sancheirav. So that's why here it describes Chizkiyah v'siyato. Right? The other, what do you mean Chizkiyah v'siyato? It should say Chizkiyah b'nei Yisrael. In every other example, it was Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Yoshua b'nei Yisrael, Dvorah and Barak. And now Chizkiyah v'siyaito. What does siyaito mean? It means in this divided response in Yerushalayim about how to react, it means those who sided, those who were sympathetic to Chizkiyah's abstinence towards Sancheirav. Rabbi Akiva Omer, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth opinion. Chananim Mishal v'Azariah Amaru, B'Shah Sh'amad Aleim, Nebuchadnezzar Arasha. When Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, confronted the Nevi'im Chananim Mishal v'Azariah, and threw them, cast them into the fiery furnace, the Kivshon Ha'ish, they responded, and they were miraculously saved. They responded with Halal. Hey Mamru lo lanu, and Meshiva, and the Ruach HaKodesh answered, Lamani. Rabbi Yosef Aglili gives a sixth opinion. It was, this is timely, Mordechai v'Esther amaru, b'shosh amalem haman arasha. when it was enacted their extinction, and nevertheless they survived, they responded with halal. Hey, Mamru Lulanu, Mashiv and the Ruach HaKodesh answered. I saw beautiful, I learned with the women this morning, we have a Wednesday morning Emunah Shir. And each week we do a different text. So this morning we were studying Rav Pinkus on Pesach, Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, that's all on Pesach. He has a fantastic insight. He says the essence of Pesach is that if Purim represents the Takana, Purim was the enactment of Haman to exterminate and to destroy the Jewish people, and we were saved. So, you ever interact with somebody, and God forbid anyone here was ever in that situation, you had a life-threatening illness, and you didn't expect to live, and you recovered? You went through a life-threatening crisis, a car accident, and you survived, you walked away, you recovered, and you never expected to. So what's the attitude of such a person, who never thought they would have a lease on life, never thought they would survive, never thought they would see another day, and miraculously they recover? What's the attitude? What should be the attitude? It's a new lease on life. Clearly I have more to accomplish. Clearly my role in this world is not done. That miraculously, supernaturally, here I am. It's a new lease on life. So Rav Pinkus says, the holiday of Pesach is the answer or the continuation of the holiday of Purim. Purim, we were designated for extinction. We had no business surviving. And what happens? A miracle happens and we survive. Pesach is our asking ourselves the question, what do we do with this new lease on life? Who are we? How do we fulfill our mission? What are we supposed to do? He doesn't mention this, but the evidence that he's right, that Pesach is connected to Purim, is that when you have two others, as we have this year, the Gemara has a machlokas, Rav Shechter, when he was here, gave a whole shir. When do you observe what? When do you observe a yahrzeit and a bar mitzvah and Purim? Which is the real Adar? Will the real Adar please stand up? So the Gemara there has a debate. When should Purim be? On the one hand, Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvahs. If Purim occurs in the first Adar, you shouldn't pass it up. But on the other hand, we don't follow that opinion. We observe Purim in the second Adar. Why? L'has Mechgula L'Geula. To celebrate one Geula next to the other. So Chazal clearly saw a connection between Purim and Pesach. That Purim is placed in the second Adar so that it is in close proximity to Pesach. So now that we've experienced Purim, now that we've survived a terminal situation, we ask ourselves, with our new lease on life, in this new period of our life of renewal, which is what Pesach is all about. I don't want to repeat that whole shir. You can listen to it on YU Torah, but it's the idea. We manipulate the calendar so that the holiday is in the right season. Pesach falls davka b'chodesh ha'aviv. It's not just a coincidence, right? It's not that the day is arbitrary. What matters is the 14th, the 15th of Nisan. Who cares what season? The whole reason we add the extra month is because if you didn't, we follow the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar, and the years would shorten, and you'd be observing Hanukkah in the summer, and Pesach in the winter, and the whole thing would be off. So we put in the extra month to reset the calendar to make sure that things are in the right season. Why? Because to us, the season is important in the observance of the holiday. So Pesach is B'chodesh Aviv. Why? What's holiday all? What's the season all about? We don't appreciate it here in South Florida. But the season of spring is all about renewal. Remember the days you lived up north? You had longer days, more sunlight. The snow melted. You saw the buds and the blossoming of the flowers, the landscaping. The smell of spring was in the air. Spring, Chodesh Aviv, is all about renewal and fresh beginnings and blossoming. So that's it. You have a new lease on life. Purim, we should have died. Miraculously, we survived. We have a new lease on life, and Pesach challenges us. What are we going to do with the new lease on life? Okay.
Can you say that it's not about focus, that they're all right?
Oh, we're going to get to that in a moment. Yes. Chachamim say, Nevi'im shebeinayim tiknu lam Yisrael sheomer moso al koperek vaperek ya'kol tzor v'tzor shlotov olayim Yisrael uluch shenigalin omer moso al geulasim. Chachamim give a final opinion, I think the seventh, that the Nevi'im were the ones who established to say Hallel when? On each regel. On every tzara, meaning after everything we experience that challenges us, and we survive, l'cheshen yigolim, whenever we survive, you say, Omer Moso al Geulasan, corresponding with that experience of what we survived, we respond and we say, Halal. Look at the Rashbam. Says the Rashbam, Yoshua v'chol Yisrael amaru, klomar af Yisrael v'yoshua amaru, v'chein perish Rabbeinu. What's the Rashbam saying? Like Rabbi Friedman was machavin. Not that these opinions are all arguing, but they're adding. The Gemara's question, Halam Mizem Mi Omro, it's possible they all said it. The question wasn't who instituted it. The question, notice the language, is not me, Tiknu, it's not who is Masakin, it's me, Amaro. Who said it? So the Rashbam is saying, each one of them said it. And it was first established, and subsequently, each one said it on top of it. Velona Hirali, Shem Kain Bekulam, Atatzarach Lefarish Kain. If that's the case, you should explain it with all of them. Vim Kain Mai Benayu, Ubin Chacham, Shom Nevim, Shemeneyam Amaru. So Rashi first quotes that who's the one who said it, not who's the one who established it, but then he said that doesn't make sense. Why does it appear as a machlokas, as if they are debating? So therefore he explains differently that the Tanaim are arguing about who was Misakin, not about who was. So it's Machlokas Rashbam and his grandfather Rashi. How do you read this Gemara? Is it a debate about who was Misakin it, or is it a debate about who said it? There's a much more fundamental question to ask here. How is it possible to suggest that Chizkiyo HaMelech was Misakin Halel, or Hanani Mishael VeAzariah, or Mordechai VeEsther? They lived way after David HaMelech.
That's right.
David HaMelech, we know, wrote Tehillim. So what are you going to say? They're the ones who said it? The Marsha asked this question in the back of the Gemara. So he says that the Sefer Tehillim was not sealed in the time of David, but the Od Hosifu Nevi'im V'Kosfu Acharav. Marsha says, based on the Malbim, the Malbim says it as well in his Akdama to Tehillim, that David HaMelech didn't close Tehillim. He began a process, he published a work called Tehillim. It's a very radical suggestion. And it was added to later, according to this opinion, these opinions in the Gemara, these individuals, Chizkiyo HaMelech, Hanani Mishael VeAzariah, Mordechai VeEsther, who lived long after David HaMelech, that they contributed, they added on to this work that was called Tehillim, that David began, and who takes the credit, but that they too added to it.
You said that before.
You saw that also, yeah, that not only David, Moshe, others. Correct. So, it's easier to say that those who came before David inherited their contributions, and he published it in his work. But how can you attribute it to the people who came afterwards when we know we had that book before them? So the answer is, the Marsha says, somewhat radical suggestion is, that the book wasn't closed.
Would Hallel be a generic term?
Oh, I think the Gemara is talking about specifically, because remember, we get through these words, Lolanu Hashem Lolanu. So we're referencing the Psukim. But you're right, maybe it means, kind of like we know, nobody had gratitude to Leah, nobody said this, and no one is saying Shira until Klal Yisrael Alayam. So maybe it's who's the first one who said it, Petorus Halal. Could be.
What about Mordechai? Because we don't say Halal. Oh. And we say at the reading, Megillah is Hilulah.
Right. Excellent question. So it's possible, they didn't establish the reading of Megillah until a few years later. There's a lot of scholarship on this.
Okay.
What does it say? Lashana Acheres Tiknu. Right, it wasn't that year. So remember,
that's in that historical.
Correct. So what I would answer is the following. I don't want to get too much into this. I may get into this a little bit actually in Pesach for those who hear at BRS. But there are two types of hallel. There's hallel b'sha'as ha'nes and hallel that commemorates the nes. Those who experience a miracle are obligated to say hallel, because that's the way we are to experience a miracle, is to say hallel. And then there's the hallel that you say historically commemorating a miracle. So, which is the hallel that we're saying? We spoke about this a little bit in terms of the hallel at the Seder. If you remember, Reb Chaim had three differences between the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and the unique mitzvah on Seder night. Reb Chaim gave us three differences, and the Rav added another difference. But that's this notion of hallel, that if you really, how much do you prolong and elaborate, and do you say it publicly, the hallel? So perhaps the hallel, even the reason I say we're going to talk about it is, I may give a shir on Pesach night about the minhag of saying hallel and shul on Pesach night. Where did that come from? How many people here say hallel and shul Pesach night? Sfarad, Nusach Sfarad, Hasidim. Right. Who doesn't say hallel? Yeah, so it's about half and half in here.
Now young as you'll say it.
So it's about half and half in here. Right, so where did these minhagim, where did these different practices come from? And if you're in a shul that's saying it, should you stay and say it? Or is it okay to leave? It's a big machlokas, or Yaakov Kamenetsky is a big discussion about it. But anyway, there's two types of hallel. So on Seder night, we are saying the hallel at the Seder of those who've just experienced a miracle. The chayav adam liras es atzmo, that which obligates us to see ourselves as if we just experienced a miracle, obligates us, if you see yourself as having experienced a miracle, you better say halal. Because if you didn't say halal, you don't really see yourself as having experienced the miracle. So my answer is, in the very year that they experienced the miracle, Mordechai and Esther had to say halal because they experienced the miracle. In subsequent years, the halal was embedded in the reading of the Megillah. But until it was celebrated through the reading of the Megillah, they were obligated to say halal. So maybe that's what the Gemara means. In that first year, Mordechai and Esther said halal themselves.
If Lo Lana was so important,
we omit in half hollow. That's what makes it half hollow. That's what makes it half hollow. Okay, it's so half hollow. Sfardim don't say a bracha on half hollow. Ashkenazim do, and Sfardim on Rosh Chodesh don't say a bracha on half hollow. That's how half hollow it was, right?
And the lung was that.
Is part of the half hollow? Yeah. Okay, Weiter. Omer of Chista. Everyone see where we are? Omer of Chista. It's a long daf. Hallelujah, the word hallelujah that appears between different chapters of Tehillim. Sof Pirka, Rav Chista holds, when the word hallelujah appears, it's the end of the chapter. Rabbi Barav Huna Amar, hallelujah Resh Pirka. When the word hallelujah appears, it's the beginning of a chapter. Notice we have the benefit of reading the Tehillim that the publisher put out. We know where the hallelujah belongs. But here the Gemara is quoting the Amoraim are debating, when publishing a Tehillim, where do you put the word hallelujah? I saw the Sefer Tehillim in the house of Rav Chanan Barav. In his version of Tehillim, it says, Hallelujah, Be'emtza Pirka. In other words, he publishes the Perek, then the word Hallelujah stands on its own, and then he publishes the next Perek. Alma Mesapkale. He's hedging. It's unclear whether the Hallelujah should precede the incoming chapter, or it concludes the previous chapter. And so to summarize, he placed it in between. We don't have time to get into it, we're not going to get into it, but there's a discussion. If it was Be'emtza Pirka, does it mean he took two prakim and combined them? So the Hallelujah would be in between? Then you're going to change the number of prakim we have. We have Mesorah about how many prakim of Tehillim we have. So does that diminish the amount of prakim we have each time there's a Hallelujah that you combine the prakim together? There's a discussion about this. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava.
I had a shiur with Rabbi
Presensky. Adler.
About the Kaddish before Rosh Chodesh Musaf.
Yeah.
The
Rav had a... Correct. Most shuls, you take your tefillin... Most shuls, you take your tefillin off. Most shuls, they take the tefillin off after Kaddish, on Rosh Chodesh. You lane, you say Kaddish, you take your tefillin off, someone gives a clap, and you begin the silent... The Shtiller Musaf Shmona Esrei. But the Rav, and Rosh Chodesh popularized this, said it's the opposite. The half Kaddish... doesn't go with the Kriya Satorah.
It's the beginning.
It introduces the Musaf.
Right.
And what's the Raya the Rav brought? Which is such a compelling Raya, I've never heard anyone argue with it. When does the Rabbi give a Drasha? Do you say Kaddish? You put the Torah away. You sing Uvnucha Yomar. You put the Torah away. The Chazan says Kaddish. Everyone sits down and the Rav gives a Drasha and then you get up and say Musaf? No. Put Torah away. You sing. And then the rabbi gives the drasha, and then everyone gets up and washes negavasa, then you say Kaddish, and then you daven musaf. So Elamai, you see, it's a universal minog. The Rav darshan's before the Kaddish. Clearly the Kaddish is the introduction to the musaf. It's a similar thing here. Is the hallelujah the end? Is the hallelujah the end? What?
You say chatzi Kaddish after laning. It's separate.
Correct. Why do we say it there? Separate. It's a separate issue. But here the chatzi Kaddish is introducing the musaf. Weiter, Omer of Chanan Bar Rava, Kol Modim, Betehilas Hashem Yidaber Pi Verokom Asoshi Gachol Yolom Vo'ed. Everybody agrees that Hallelujah, the Basre, that the Hallelujah there goes, that the Hallelujah afterwards is Resh Pirka. In other words, what comes right after that? Hallelujah, Hallelujah Nafshi. So that Hallelujah of Hallelujah Nafshi precedes the Hallelujah Nafshi. Does not end, Verokom Asoshi Gachol Yolom Vo'ed, Hallelujah. It's rather Kobasoshim Kacholi Lom Vahed, period. The Hallelujah, Halleluka, precedes the next paragraph, Halli Nafshi. And similarly, Rosha Yira Vacha Shino of Yacharog Venamas Taibas Roshonim Toved, Hallelujah de Basre, that Halleluka too, Reish Pirka, is the beginning of the parak that follows. Vishom de Meves Hashem, Hallelujah de Basre, Reish Pirka. In other words, the Gemara here is going through our Masora about how to properly read Tehillim and where you place this word. If you remember, we saw 2 weeks ago the debate about this word. Is this word one word? Is this word two words? Like Yedidya and Hallelujah. And the Nafkamina is, can you erase the Yud-Heh? Is this God's name embedded separately as a separate word or one word? And we saw the Chashuk Echemed, if you're with your buddy Yedidya in the mikvah, can you say, call his name out? or you're not allowed to say Hashem's name in the mikvah, in the Beis HaMechatz. The Gemara continues, Karoi Mosifin Af Es Elu. Balei Kriya, who are experts in Psukim, add on to Rav Chanan Bar Ava, and they add the following, Minacha Baderach Yishta Alken Yorim Rosh, Haluka De Basrei is Resh Pirka. Resh is Chochma Yiras Hashem Seichel Tom V'chol Oseyem, Haluka De Basrei Resh Pirka. So here we have a Masora, we have a list of times Haluka appears, where there is no debate. Clearly that Haluka is the introduction of the paragraph that comes afterwards. Good. Rav Chista and Rabbi Barafuna had a debate about where to put the Haluka. So says the Gemara, Neima Ketanai. Maybe those Amoroyim, Rav Chista and Rabbi Barafuna, were having the same argument as the Tanaim. Ad Heichanu Omer. We're back in our Mishnah. We saw the Mishnah on last Daf Kufta Zayin on Beis. The Mishnah had listed Ad Heichanu Omer. We had a Machlokas Beshama in Beis Hillel. When you have the Kosheni, the second cup, before the meal, before the matzah and the maror, right? You say half halal before, half halal after. So on the half halal before, how far do you go on the half halal before? That was what the Mishnah had in Machlokas. B'shamay omrim arei mabonim smicha, which is the end of the first parak of Tehillim. B'shamay omrim ar chalomish lamayno mayim, which is the end of the second parak of halal. B'tanya idach, and we had another brisa who said, areichanu omer, b'shamay omrim ad b'tzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim, which is the beginning of the second parak. B'shamay omrim ad lolanu Hashem lolanu, which is the beginning of the third parak. So everybody agrees that according to Beshama, you only say one chapter. According to Bezillel, you say two chapters. But the Tana in our Mishnah quotes the end of the chapter, and the Tana of the Brisa quotes the beginning of it. Meaning they're not really debating about which chapter to say, just one's talking about the beginning of the chapter, and one's talking about the end of the chapter. So says the Gemara, what are they arguing about these Tanaim? They're talking about the same chapter. Why are they referring to it differently by the beginning or the end? So my love, Baakam Iflagi, maybe this is exactly what they are debating. Namely, where does the Haluka go? In other words, is the Haluka between these two chapters the end of the first chapter or the beginning of the second? Is it Ema Bar Smecha Haluka B'tzeis Yisrael? So where does that Haluka go? So Laman Da'amar, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, who says that Beis Shammai say that we recite until Ema Barim Smecha, Savar Haluka is Resh Pirka. He gave the quote of Ema Barim Smecha because to him the Haluka already was the next paragraph. And Man Da'amar, according to the Tana of the Brisa, not the Mishnah, but who saw that Beis Shammai say Ad Beit Seis Yisrael, he must hold that the Haluka is the end of the previous chapter, Sof Pirka. So maybe that's exactly what the Machlokas is. The Rav Chista and Rabbi Barafuna are not only a debate Amoraim, they are consistent with they're reflecting a Machlokas Tanaim. Says the Gemara, no. Rav Chista matarits the Taimei, dekulei alma savrei aluka sof pirka. So man da'amar abit tis Yisrael, shapir man da'amar arim abarim smicha, ad v'ad bichlal. The debate's not about where you put the haluka, says Rav Chista. Maybe everybody agrees about that. The Machlokas is whether you say ad v'ad bichlal or not. So says the Gemara, if Haluka is the end of the first paragraph, v'neima ad Haluka, why don't you just say all the way until Haluka? Why don't you give that as the demarcation about where to end? So v'chiteima d'lo yadinan hay Haluka, because if you would have just said, you say until Haluka, who knows which Haluka you're talking about, v'neima Haluka shel ema banam smecha. Kasha. If you really help, the Haluka goes with ema banam smecha, you should have put it all together to say that's where you go. Why'd you leave it out? It's pretty compelling to say that you believe Haluka belongs with the next paragraph. So Kasha, that's a question. The Gemara continues. Rav Barafuna Matarits with time into Kuleyama. Rav Barafuna, who said that Haluka is the beginning of the next chapter, he also will explain the Tanaim according to his reason that everyone agrees with him, that Haluka is the beginning of the next chapter. Haluka Resh Pirko Manda Amrade Mebanus Mecha Shapir. It makes sense why he didn't say Haluka, because Haluka goes with the next chapter. So again, each one, Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Avuna, are able to explain that the machlokas Tanaim is not against them. Everybody agrees with them. What's the machlokas about? Do you say ad v'ad bichlal, or do you say ad v'lo ad bichlal? So now, according to Rabbi Bar Avuna, b'nei ma'ad halaluka, v'chitem l'lina din ha'aluka, b'nei ma'ad haluka of b'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, kasha. That's a question on him. Okay? Any questions? As I told you, this we've got to get through this to the Mishnah. Not exactly the greatest lum this year. Right there. Choseim beGeula. Our Mishnah said that you complete the Haggadah with Geula. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, if you recall in our Mishnah, if you turn back a daf, argued, how do you end with Geula? And Rabbi Akiva holds, you end with the bracha of Gaal Yisrael. God is the Redeemer of Israel. Amar Rava. In the bracha of Geula that we say for Kriya Shema and for Hallel, Gaal Yisrael. Ditzlosa, in the bracha of Geula that we have in the Amidah in Shemona Esrei, it's Goel Yisrael. So why is it that in Hallel and in Birchas Kriya Shema we say Gaal Yisrael, and in the Amidah the bracha of Tkab Shofar is Goel Yisrael? My time, and why the difference? Answers the Gemara, Deracham Einenu. It's a very important distinction. When it comes to Hallel and Birchas Kriya Shema, we're talking about God in the past tense as being the Redeemer of Israel. Gaal Yisrael, previously, historically, in the past. In the context of Tkab Shofar, which concludes Gaal Yisrael, there we're talking about God in the present or in the future. There it's a form of tefillah where we're asking Hashem to once again be the Gaal Yisrael in the present. As the Rashbam writes, Ditzlosa Goel Yisrael Shonu Mispalim Al Ha'osid. We're davening for the future. Omar Rabbi Zeira says, De Kedusha Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav and Ditzlosa Kadshenu B'Mitzvosecha. Here's another difference. When you say Kiddush, you say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu, which sounds like Lashon Avar, past tense, B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu in the past. Ditzlosa, in davening on Shabbos, we say, Kadshenu b'mitzvosecha. My taima, what's the difference? Again, derachame ninu. Davening is a bakasha for rachamim, and therefore we put it in the present. This one's a little more troubling. Why?
Not supposed to ask petitions.
So for tzorchei tzibur, you ask. Right. Rosh Chodesh ben sheni. Correct. Correct. What?
For Ruchnius, you ask.
There's different answers which are given. For Ruchnius, Gashmius, you don't ask. For Ruchnius, you can. Tzorchei tzibur, as a community. Why do you say Mishaberech v'cholim on Shabbos? So the answer is, correct. That's what Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah said, B'sof Shachar Chol Yisrael, when you turn it from a need of the tzibur instead of a need of the yachid.
Rabbi, the phrase Shabbos even Yizot, who referred from Lavel, I once saw somewhere, which I forgot where.
Yeah.
A person who's Mesukon, you don't add that phrase. Because if he's a Mesukon, you don't have Shabbos even Yizot, because you have an obligation to pray for that person at that moment, you don't have to say that phrase.
Oh. In other words, that supersedes the problem of Shabbos. Okay. So therefore you omit the phrase. Interesting. Okay. Omar Rav Achar Bar Yankif, writer. Tzorach sheyazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim b'Kiddush Hayom. We're obligated to reference Yitzias Mitzrayim when we say Kiddush. Or I should say, b'Kiddush Hayom, when we say Kiddush, and when we daven. Look at the Rashbam. The Kiddusha v'Kiddushanu d'Ardo Yasha Avar. It's lost the Kiddushanu v'Shanu Omrim b'Em Tetvila Roy L'Omr b'Lashon B'Kosha. Fine. Says the Rashbam, Tzorach sheyazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim b'Kiddush Hayom bein b'Kos bein b'Tfila. When the Gemara said Kiddush Hayom, it meant both the Kiddush Hayom of Kiddush on a Kos and the Kiddush Hayom of davening. Shal Shabbos b'gzeir shoved the Pesach, v'shar moed b'mematzinu mipesach. What's the limud? The Gemara is about to say it. K'siv hacha. When it comes to Pesach, it says l'man tizkor es yom tzeischa, to remember leaving Mitzrayim. L'man tizkor es yom tzeischa me'etz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. U'k'siv hasam. And there, regarding Shabbos, it says zocher es yom haShabbos l'kodesho. So you see Gzer Shava, Zachira, to link Shabbos with Pesach. Just like on Pesach, you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too on Shabbos, you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's what the Rashbam throws in, and then you have a Mem Matzinu to link Pesach to the other Yom Tovim. If on Pesach you have a Gzeres Shava too, Shabbos, then you have a Mem Matzinu to connect the other Yom Tovim to Pesach, that you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the connection between the two? What? What's the connection? Well, I understand the Gzeres Shava. It's Gzeres Shava. What? I understand. We just learned it. It's the Gzeres Shava. I'm saying, what's the deeper connection between Shabbos and Pesach? Why should I have to remember Zichri Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because Baruch Hu can't let go. His ego is so big that he wants us to remember the great miracles all the time. That's what Pesach is for. Pesach commemorates Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zichri Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's it doing in Kiddush? What does Shabbos have to do? Those are the two themes of Shabbos. Zecher L'Maisa Bereshis and Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. So Maisa Bereshis, I understand about Shabbos, Kosh Baruch Hu created for 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. But what does Shabbos have to do with Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim?
Because L'Tzias Mitzrayim was for the purpose of Malchut Torah. Without Torah, the world wouldn't stand. So the whole creation of the world was based on L'Tzias Mitzrayim to receive the Torah.
Okay, so then it should be Zecher L'Matan Torah. Why Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Yetzias Mitzrayim was for the purpose.
But we have the exact thing. Shavuos, Matan Torah. Zechel Matan Torah. Why Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Yetzias Mitzrayim shows that Hashem is involved in the world. Not just that Hashem created it at one point in time and left it alone.
Oh. So the Manteida Kani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. So the world knows that the Makos were not punitive. The Makos were educational. Moshe comes to Paro and he says, I'm here representing Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said, let my people go. Paro says, that's nice. Who's a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Me Hashem. I don't know a God. So God says, you don't know me? Let me make myself known. And that's the pshat, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tzach Be'achah, who links the acronym of the Makos. It's such a great chiddush that he was able to name the acronym. That's such a big chiddush. The instance where Rabbi Yehuda was teaching, he divided the Makos into three categories. The three categories represent three educational experiences where Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying to Paro, first, I'm the creator of the universe. Second, I rule nature. And third, I rule you. And if you look at the progression of the Makos, you see that in terms of the Makos, in terms of the Makos themselves. But I think there's an even more fundamental connection.
How about the idea that Shabbos, we are no longer, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're no longer slaves. We're slaves to Paro. And how can we really observe Shabbos when we're slaves? Now that we're free, we take it upon ourselves to observe Shabbos.
Okay, so Rabbi Friedman suggests maybe the connection is only the free person can observe Shabbos. So every time you're observing Shabbos, you're referencing the freedom that must have preceded it. So I would say a little bit differently. I agree, but I would say a little bit differently. And that is that what ultimately is Shabbos about? It's about liberating us. What happens on Shabbos? The rest of the week, you are enslaved to technology, you're enslaved to work, you're enslaved to the things you have to do, you're taskless, you're enslaved to the laundry, you're enslaved to Shabbos by abstaining from the Lama Tes Malachos. By what happens? Says the Pasuk of Kivshua, Pruvu Maluas Arts of Kivshua. 6 days of the week, we multiply, we fill the world, and we conquer the world. Go conquer the world. Go figure out the world and manipulate nature. In the seventh day, stop manipulating nature, stop conquering the world, and rest. That rest is liberating. It's liberating. So one of the themes of Shabbos is Zech Yetzias Mitzrayim. It means 6 days a week we're enslaved in so many ways to different aspects of what we have. Come Shabbos and Zech Yetzias Mitzrayim, it liberates us. Look at Tosfos.
I'm not rabbis.
Not rabbis, exactly. We're enslaved 7 days a week. Zog Tosfos. Zog Tosfos, Leman Kavu, the Kach Tap Tosfos. Tap Tosfos. Leman Tiskor, Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim. The Kach Kavu, Zeich Litzias Mitzrayim. The Shamati, Nehemar Ram, Sheyesh Bemedrash, the Fish of Mitzrayim, Avdu Be'am Yisrael Beforach. The way that we were oppressed is described using the word Forach. Uporach Ba'ad Bash V'gal, right at the system, Shehem Malachos Arboim Chaser Achas. Ukashenigl Mitzrayim Yisira Mal Shabbos Lishbos Lamates also lamates malachos. So in Atgash, Befarach adds up to 40 minus 1, which is the hint to the lamates malachos. So only when we were redeemed from Egypt, we received Shabbos even before Ma'an Torah. Where do we receive Shabbos? In Mara. Sham Samla Choko Mishpat. Sham Niso, there we were given Choko Mishpat. There we were given Shabbos. Shabbos was immediately after coming out of Egypt, even before Matan Torah. So once, as Rabbi Friedman was saying, once we had freedom, we experienced the true freedom of Shabbos. Shabbos is liberating, so therefore in Kiddush, you have to say Zeich Leitzias Mitzrayim. So in our davening we say Zeich Leitzias Mitzrayim, and in Kiddush you say Zeich Leitzias Mitzrayim. The Minchas Chinuch asks, what about in Havdalah? Kiddush you learn from Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho. You learn Havdalah from the same Pasuk. According to the Minchas Chinuch, the Rambam holds Havdalah is Doraisa. We've been through this a few times. It's Machlokas Rishonim whether Havdalah is Doraisa. There's a lot of nafkaminas for women, whether they can or should. That's why women should always hear Havdalah from a man, because it is a Machlokas. But if you hold that Havdalah is Doraisa, and you hold you learn from the same Pasuk of Zohar, Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho, the Gemara's Pasuk here, says the Minchas Chinuch, where is the reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim in Havdalah? That's the Minchas Chinuch's question. What's the answer? So the Masha says that the main true, but the main pasuk is Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho. That's Kiddush, L'Kodesho, Kiddush. So therefore, the main place you have to mention is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Even though yes, Kiddush and Avdalah are learned from the same pasuk, but the Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk is talking about Kiddush, not Avdalah, and therefore it's only what the Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk is talking about, namely Kiddush, that you have to reference the Zeich Leitzias Mitzrayim. I think that's the Marsha's answer. Somebody else answers, I don't remember who, maybe the Magen Avraham, that where do we reference Zeich Leitzias Mitzrayim? In the Amida, and that's where the Ikar Avdalah is. The Ikar Avdalah is in Atacha Natanu, and in the Amida we mention, where do we mention in the Amida Yitzias Mitzrayim?
Das.
That's where we mention Havdalah. Where do we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim? Did I get that right? It's Minchas Chinuch, hold on. I'm sorry, it's the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik says, you're Yotzei min HaTorah Havdalah by mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kriya Shema and in the Bracha Go'al Yisrael, which is samach to the Havdalah in Tefillah. So the Ikar Havdalah is in Tefillah. Right before Tefillah you say Ga'al Yisrael. So your Yotzei, the referencing Zeich Yitzias Mitzrayim in Havdalah, it's a little bit forced. That's how the Maram Shik answers the Minchas Chinuch's question. So from the Gemara, the only explicit mention is you have to say Zeich Yitzias Mitzrayim both in Kiddush and in the Amida. The Minchas Chinuch says, what about Havdalah? So either no, because the Pashup Pshat and the Pasuk is talking about Kiddush, or the Maram Shik's answer, because you're Yotzei with Kriya Shema, which is Samach to Tefillah, which includes Havdalah in it. Amar Abba Bar Shila Vaiter. Ditzlosa. When we're talking about the Geula, Ditzlosa in the Bracha, in Davening of Estemach David, we end it Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Daftarta, in the Bracha that comes after the Haftorah, we say Magen David. V'yasisi l'chashen godol k'shem ha-gedolim. Tanei Rav Yosef, Zeu Shomrim Magen David. Where do we learn to say Magen David after the brachos, after the Haftorah? From this pasuk in Shmuel, V'asisi l'chashem godol k'shem ha-gedolim. Omer Shimon ben Lakish, Ezcha l'goy godol, Zeu Shomrim Elokei Avram. V'avar Echecha, Zeu Shomrim Elokei Yitzchak. V'agadla Shemecha, Zeu Shomrim Elokei Yaakov. Yochel Yuchos Min Mekulam. I might have thought I should have said Magen Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Why do I have a different one for each? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's redundant. Tamad Lomar Ve'yei Bracha Becha Chosmin Ve'en Chosmin Bekulam. Avram has the distinction. It's only Magen Avram. It's not Magen Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, because it's Becha, it's Ve'yei Bracha. It's through Avram that the Bracha comes. He has the distinction of being alone and not combined with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Weiter. Amarava, I want to get to the Mishnah. Amarava, Ashkechitin l'sabe de Padum Padisa. I found the elders of Pupadisa, Diyasvi v'ka'amre, when they were sitting and saying Kiddush, v'shabta on Shabbos, bein mitzlosa bein mikidusha, both in davening as well as in Kiddush, they ended mikadish Shabbos. V'yam atova on yontif v'yam mitzlosa v'yam b'kedushu mekadosh yisro v'azman. And that's our practice. On Shabbos we end mekadosh Shabbos, and on yontif we end mekadosh yisro v'azman. V'aminu lu ona, and I said to them, this is kainim adarabba, it should be the opposite. Titzlosa v'yam b'shabta v'yam b'yam atova mekadosh yisro. It should be, says Rava, that in davening, whether it's Shabbos or Yontif, you should just end the Mekadosh Yisroel. But B'Kedusha D'Shabta, Mekadosh HaShabbos, B'Kedusha Yom HaTovah, Mekadosh Yisroel Ba'azmanim. V'ona amin etayim adidi v'tayim adidchu. And let me tell you my reason, and let me tell you their reason. Tayim adidchu, their reason is the Kainim, the Sabe de Padum Padisa, is because Shabbos de Kviyah V'Kaimo. Shabbos, which is established and comes on its own, Shabbos doesn't need our help. So b'im mitzlos b'im mekedusha mekadosh Shabbos. Shabbos is mekudosh. Every seventh day is Shabbos. You sanctify it or not. Whether you light candles or say kiddush or not. And the seventh day comes and the sun sets, it's automatically Shabbos. But Yom Tova, when it comes to Yom Tov, the Yisrael hu dekavilei, you need Beis Din to be mekadosh the chodesh, and it's only after Beis Din receive the testimony mekadosh. They're the ones who establish it. The Mika'abra Yachay, the Kavilishnei, they're the ones who are Ma'aber the month. Is it 29 days or 30 days? They're the ones who establish the years. So therefore, Mekadosh Yisroel, Vazmanim. So that's your reason. Your reason is that Shabbos is automatically holy. Nobody interferes. Nobody doesn't require anybody. So Shabbos is automatic. It's Mekadosh Shabbos. Yontif, which requires man, is Mekadosh first Yisroel, who in turn are Mekadosh Vazmanim. B'taim Adidi, says Rava, but my reason is that Tlosa in davening, Divarabim Isa, which is said in public, Mekadosh Yisroel. Kiddush B'yachad Isa, B'Shabbos Mekadosh Shabbos, V'yontav Mekadosh Yisroel V'azmanim. And says the Gemara, rejects Rava V'loi. But that argument is not true. Tlosa D'yachad Milesa. Do we not daven alone also? Kiddush V'rabim Milesa. And do we not sometimes say Kiddush in public? The distinction of davening and kiddush between private and public that Rava offered, says the Gemara, is inaccurate. Times that we daven privately and the times that we say kiddush publicly. So v'Rava savor zil basar ikar. Rava agrees, but he says the main thing is to daven publicly and say kiddush privately in your home. Ula barav nachis kame de Rava. Ula came to daven before Rava, Amar, and he ended davening kisavi de pumbedisa. V'lo amale v'lo midi. Rava heard him end Mekadosh Yisroel v'azmanim on Yontif, Mekadosh HaShabbos on Shabbos, and unlike Rava, and he didn't say anything. So Alma Hadabe Rava. It sounds like Rava reversed his opinion. Rav Nosa Avu Adar Avuna Breda Rav Nosan Nechis Kame Dar Rav Papa Omar Kesavi Depun Bedisa V'Shabche Rav Papa. So Rav Nosan went to daven in front of Rav Papa. He said the davening like, again, the Sabbath Depun Bedisa, and Rav Papa praised him. All of this makes it sound like we don't paskin like Rava. The Magen Avraham says, if a person made a mistake and just said Mekadosh Yisroel and didn't say Vazmanim, they could be Yotzei like Rava. Mm-hmm. To which everyone else jumps on him and says, what do you mean? Rava himself was Hadar. Don't tell me you can rely on Rava even though we don't paskin like him. B'dievet, after the fact, even Rava reversed his opinion. Amar Ravina ana ikla l'sura kame demaremar. So says Ravina, I went to Surah and I daven before Mare Marunachas Kame Shluchat Zibura. I served as the Shriach Zibur. Va'amar Kesabe de Pembedus Vav Meshapke Le Kule Amma. And everybody quieted him because they held like Rava. So Amalahu Shivku Kesilchasa Kesabe de Pembedus, leave him alone. Velova Meshapke Le. And then the Zibur stopped quieting him down because they heard we don't paskin like Rava. So in fact, we paskin the way we all know that we do. We paskin on Shabbos, we say Mekadosh HaShabbos, because Shabbos is Mekudosh Me'ilov. Whereas Yom Tov, we say Mekadosh Yisroel Ve'azmanim, because Kodesh Baruch Hu was HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Kodesh Baruch Hu was first Mekadosh Yisroel, and it's Yisroel who are Mekadosh the Zmanim. We're going to meet one more time before Pesach, which is next week, and we will pick it up from this Mishnah. We could start the Mishnah. Mazgul Lekosh Shlishi Mavarech Al Mazono. They pour the third cup, and you make the bracha on the muzzle. Then they pour the fourth cup, and you finish halal. Ba'amar Allah, birchas hashir. Says the Mishnah, ben kosas halalu, between the first two cups of the four, imrat lishtos yishta. You want to drink more wine, you can. Ben shlishi l'ravi lo yishta. Between the third and fourth cup, you're not allowed to drink more wine. I'll leave you with this question. Why? What's the difference between the first two cups and the third and the fourth cup? Why would you be allowed to interrupt with more drinking between the first two, but you're not allowed to interrupt with more drinking between the third and the fourth? Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful explanation. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with what each of these cups represents. So the first two can be interrupted. Between the third and the fourth cannot be interrupted. Why not? I'll leave you to think about that. And we will pick up with it in Mirtz Hashem next week.